Tonight, several major stories as we come on the air. The alarming news on that UK variant of coronavirus spreading in the U.S. at least 21 states. The UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson now saying they believe the UK variant of the virus is not just more contagious, but could also be more deadly. British experts saying up to 30% more deadly. Tonight, scientists say it is still too early to be sure. So how do you get ahead of it in the U.S.? And news on vaccines tonight, the concerns, will there be enough vaccine to have those second doses ready for Americans in time? What Dr. Fauci is now saying about the window of time, how much time you have before you have to get that second shot. We also have news on masks tonight when it comes to fighting off this more contagious variant of the virus. News tonight on help for American families and small businesses crushed financially by this pandemic. President Joe Biden signing executive orders helping to feed families, laying the groundwork to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour for federal workers, calling for an additional $1,400 direct payments to some Americans. Also tonight, news on former President Trump's impeachment trial. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now says she will send the article of impeachment to the Senate on Monday. So will the trial begin at 1 p.m. the next day? Or will Senate leaders agree to delay or come up with some sort of agreement to divide their work with the trial? What our Mary Bruce has just learned tonight. We also have new reporting here, the outrage after images of hundreds of National Guard members called in to defend the U.S. Capitol for the inauguration. They were then ordered to leave the Capitol, seen getting rest on the floor of a parking garage. Lawmakers on both sides furious tonight. So who made this decision and why? What we've learned. And this evening here, we celebrate the life of Hank Aaron, who became baseball's home run king. He broke barriers, and he did it with grace. But what he faced, what he witnessed along the way, Hank Aaron tonight, in his own words.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together. And on this Friday night, no break from the news. We begin here with the alarming headline on the coronavirus today. Britain's prime minister said today that they believe that this UK variant that we're now seeing here in the U.S. in at least 21 states tonight, that it's not only much more contagious, that it's also more deadly. Scientists are cautioning tonight that they still need to study this longer, but they do acknowledge already it does spread and easily. Tonight, the U.S. now reporting more than 413,000 American lives lost to the virus. New York State, for one, will run out of vaccine by the end of today. Governor Andrew Cuomo saying tonight that a new shipment is on the way, but it underscores the need to ramp up vaccine production. So many states say they need supply. The long lines, these images from a mega vaccination site at Six Flags Magic Mountain, that's in Southern California. Tonight, Johnson & Johnson saying it's getting closer to requesting emergency use authorization for its one-shot vaccine. That would be the third vaccine for the American people, of course, Pfizer and Moderna already. President Biden on the pandemic again tonight saying, quote, there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of this pandemic in the next several months, but that we have to fight it together. And tonight, with concerns over the vaccine supply, what Dr. Anthony Fauci is now saying about the timing of that second dose, the window of time, how much time can pass before you have to get that second shot. ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off again tonight.
Tonight, a new warning that the highly contagious UK variant, which is already threatening the U.S., could also be more deadly.
There is some evidence that the new variant, the variant that was first identified in London and the southeast, may be associated with a higher degree of mortality.
That UK variant now in 21 states, believed to be up to 50% more contagious, and British health officials citing early evidence suggesting it may be up to 30% deadlier. But they're still investigating, and vaccines appear to work against it.
Even if the virus ended up not being any more deadly, the fact that it is more contagious means it's going to end up infecting a lot more people. It's going to cause more hospitalizations and a lot more deaths.
With the dwindling vaccine supply, the CDC now telling people there is some flexibility when a second dose can't be given on time.
Sometimes the situation is stressed where it's very difficult to be exactly on time. So we're saying you could probably do it 6 weeks later, namely two additional weeks. Quite frankly, immunologically, I don't think that's going to make a big difference.
And tonight, the CDC also saying in exceptional situations where the same brand of vaccine isn't available for a second dose, it's better to switch brands than skip that second dose. Many already worried they won't be able to get one, like healthcare worker Nikema Taylor.
I'm feeling so much frustration and so much anxiety about this. I'm trying to go online and to set my appointment for the second vaccine, and there's nothing available.
In New York City, the mayor asking the federal government for permission to use second doses as first doses.
It's going faster and faster. There's just no supply to keep up with it.
The state burning through 97% of its first doses, expected to run out by the end of the day. More is on the way, but the shortage forcing 15 vaccination hubs to close for now.
Did get the COVID, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
In New Jersey, long lines before daybreak. And in California, drivers at Dodger Stadium waiting up to 5 hours.
There was a 3 to 4 hour wait, so we came back this morning.
At this pace of the rollout, the mayor says vaccinating all of L.A. County would take until June 2022.
These are just stunning images, and they say they waited 4 or 5 hours and then came back the next day. Let's get right back to Whit Johnson on this again tonight. And Whit, we already knew that the UK variant was more contagious, now potentially more deadly. But with it spreading so quickly, and we knew this, scientists in the last 24 hours are now doubling down on masks in this country, making sure that the mask you're wearing is effective, even suggesting an extra layer in some cases.
David, more and more health experts are now suggesting wearing two masks in high-risk situations, like when you can't avoid a crowd or you're in close proximity with other people. The best mask is still the N95, but those are generally reserved for healthcare workers, so they are recommending alternatives that you can find on online retailers. The bottom line, David, the more layers, the better.
That's right. Double up with the layers. That only helps. With Johnson leading us off on a Friday night. With thank you. Of course, the pandemic and the economic impact crushing many American families and small businesses across this country. President Biden signing executive orders today, helping to feed families, laying the groundwork to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for federal workers. And he's calling on Congress for an additional $1,400 direct payment for some Americans. And just moments ago tonight, there's also news on former President Trump's Senate impeachment trial. The article of impeachment will be sent to the Senate on Monday. So what does that mean now for the trial? When will it start? What Mary Bruce has just learned tonight.
On his second full day in office, President Biden's agenda clashing with the looming impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Biden today signing executive orders to expand food stamp benefits for struggling families.
The first one is the economic relief related to COVID-19 pandemic.
And lay the groundwork for a $15 minimum wage for federal workers. But Biden will need Congress to deliver his nearly $2 trillion rescue package. And right now, Congress has something else on its plate, impeachment.
The bottom line is this. We're in a national emergency. We need to act like we're in a national emergency.
Biden wants an additional $1,400 in direct payments to most Americans.
$600, which was already passed, is simply not enough. If you still have to choose between paying your rent, putting food on the table.
He's calling for extending unemployment benefits, more money for small businesses, and $160 billion for vaccine distribution and testing.
We have the tools to help people. So let's use the tools. All of them. Use them now.
But the Senate is about to be consumed with Trump's trial. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi today announcing she is going to send over the article of impeachment on Monday. And according to the Senate rules, the trial would have to begin at 1 p.m. the next day.
Make no mistake, a trial will be held in the United States Senate, and there will be a vote on whether to convict the president.
But a trial next week could put the brakes on the Biden agenda. Right now, only two cabinet officials have been confirmed. And some Senate Republicans say that when the impeachment trial begins, everything else will be postponed.
Clearly, if the impeachment articles come over Monday,
right,
the opportunity for President Biden to get a cabinet in place is done until
right.
impeachment is done.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell wants to delay the trial several weeks to give Trump time to prepare his defense. And late today, the president seeming to suggest he, too, is open to a delay.
The more time we have to get up and running to meet these crises, the better.
So many different messages there. Let's get right back to Mary at her post at the White House. And Mary, moments ago, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, now the Majority Leader, coming to the Senate floor to announce an agreement has been struck on the timing of this impeachment trial. We know the article of impeachment, as you just reported, will be delivered to the Senate on Monday, triggering the trial. How's this going to play out?
So, David, here's how this will work. The article of impeachment will still be delivered on Monday. And as you know, the Senate trial then has to begin at 1 p.m. the next day. So members will still be sworn in as jurors on Tuesday. But then both sides are now going to be given 2 weeks to prepare. In the meantime, the Senate can work on other business, like confirming Biden's cabinet nominees and this COVID relief bill. The trial in earnest will then begin the week of February 8th.
David. February 8th, sworn in as jurors on Tuesday, but then time to prepare. All right, Mary, keeping us honest tonight. Thank you. We're going to learn more this evening after those images causing outrage after 25,000 National Guard troops came to the Capitol to protect the inauguration. Many were then ordered out of the Capitol. And look at these images. Hundreds of National Guard members seen getting rest, many on the floor of a nearby parking garage. Lawmakers on both sides furious tonight, and I gather many of you at home as well. So who made this decision and why? Here's our congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott, tonight.
Tonight, outrage in Washington after images like these. Members of the National Guard unexpectedly forced out of the Capitol they've been defending for weeks in order to rest in parking garages.
It breaks your heart. I mean, these are people who are here serving the country, protecting us, protecting our freedom and our democracy, and there's absolutely no excuse for that.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle were furious. Some offered up their offices. Hours later, that order was reversed and troops were allowed back inside.
Did you have a warm place to stay last night?
Yes, sir.
It's still unclear who gave the direction. The National Guard and Capitol Police issuing a joint statement saying they are working together to ensure troops have appropriate spaces for on-duty breaks and that off-duty troops are being housed in hotel rooms. Today, the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, making a surprise visit to the Capitol, passing out cookies and thanking troops.
I just wanted to come today to say thank you to all of you for keeping me and my family safe.
And David, still unclear tonight who made that call to move the troops out of the United States Capitol and into that parking garage. We know the National Guard, the D.C. Capitol Police, as well as lawmakers are looking into this tonight. Members of Congress also raising some concerns about COVID-19 protocols. You saw those troops packed tightly together. We are learning that more than 150 have tested positive for COVID-19 and the military presence not going away. We are also learning that 7,000 members of the National Guard could be here in the nation's capital until March, David.
All right, Rachel Scott at the Capitol tonight. Rachel, thank you. And you heard Rachel mention the virus spreading among the troops there. There's also growing concern tonight about the toll on American children as well. Nearly 2.5 million children now testing positive. And in Arizona alone tonight, cases involving children now 5 times the number they were seeing just last fall. Here's Marcus Moore on that tonight.
Tonight, with Arizona hospitals still overwhelmed with COVID patients, the state now seeing the virus in a staggering number of children and teens.
We are now the leading state in the country for COVID positivity in children.
With nearly 1 in 7 COVID cases now under the age of 20, Arizona's largest hospital system reporting a dramatic spike in the number of children admitted.
They need IV fluids, they need extra support with oxygen, and about a third, just as adults who are hospitalized with COVID, they need ICU care.
As of mid-January, nearly 2.5 million children in the U.S. have tested positive for COVID since the start of the pandemic. Last week alone, seeing the highest weekly increase in new cases. For 13-year-old Maggie Flannery, her COVID symptoms got increasingly worse. For 2 months, her mother says she could not get out of bed.
I had a lot of, aching in my body. My chest felt very heavy, and I had trouble breathing.
The one-time ballerina in New York has had to drop extracurricular activities due to the virus's long-term effects. And while severe cases of COVID remain uncommon among children, doctors say they're seeing more instances of the rare multisystem inflammatory syndrome in children linked to the virus. In Texas, 11-year-old Kaysen Abbott has a long road to recovery after battling that rare COVID-linked syndrome.
With Miss C, it has really affected him in such a different way as far as just zapping him of his energy level.
Tonight, there are a pair of clinical trials underway. Moderna's, which is looking at age groups 12 to 17, those have already started. And tonight, Pfizer has announced that its vaccine trials for children 12 to 15 are fully enrolled. And David, tonight, they are underway.
A lot of parents following this very closely. Marcus, thank you. Tonight, meanwhile, a new leader at the Pentagon, the Biden administration, making history with its newest cabinet member. Retired Army General Lloyd Austin was sworn in as Secretary of Defense today, making him the first African-American to lead the Pentagon. The Senate confirming Secretary Austin with an overwhelming vote of 93-2. And tonight, across this country, the nation, celebrating the life of Hall of Famer Hank Aaron, a rare legend among legends. He became baseball's home run king, the first to break Babe Ruth's record, a champion of civil rights on and off the field. Here's Steve Osunsami.
He will forever be remembered for this mighty swing.
Straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
That helped replace a white man with a black man in the record books. This was the call that night in Georgia in 1974 when Hank Aaron slugged his way past the legendary Babe Ruth with 715 career home runs, and his record of 755 would stand for 30 long years.
A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol.
But it needs to be said that Hank Aaron overcame a whole lot more than a baseball record. He was heckled by racist white fans and players. People were promising to kidnap his children, and the death threats came pouring in the mail.
I couldn't open a letter for a month. It had to be opened by the FBI or somebody else, you know. I couldn't let that stand in my way.
Henry Louis Aaron grew up poor in Alabama, where he had to make his own baseball bats with tree limbs. It was when black athletes were lucky if they could make it to the Negro Leagues, which were separate and certainly not equal to the majors.
I played with some ball players that knew how to play the game, and they taught me an awful lot.
Mr. Aaron was unshakable, living up to the great responsibility he felt for how he represented black Americans. He became a successful businessman, gave millions to schools and charities, and just weeks ago was part of an effort encouraging black Americans to get vaccinated for the coronavirus.
It's just a small thing that can help zillions of people in this country.
In his later years, he would often say that he wanted to be remembered most for the lives he helped change.
I think that I want to be remembered as someone who was able to forget about baseball, but be able to help mankind.
The Atlanta Stadium where Hank Aaron made history is long gone. It was torn down years ago, and this parking lot is what's left. But they've kept a piece of the outfield wall where he made that 715th home run. Hank Aaron was 86 years old, and the Atlanta Braves tells us tonight that he died peacefully in his sleep. David.
Wow, a remarkable life. And thanks for showing us that wall there, Steve. I'm glad they kept it. And later right here tonight, what happened right after that home run? Who was right there waiting? It was another incredible moment after history made. That's coming up. But first here, the dangerously cold temperatures and the winter storm set to move right across the country. We'll track it in a moment.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are tracking that Arctic blast tonight. Frigid conditions from Minnesota to Maine this weekend. Wind chills in the teens, single digits in some spots. Winter weather alerts as a new snowstorm moves from the west into the Rockies and then right into the Midwest. We'll track it for you. Tonight, NBC's Tom Brokaw is retiring after 55 years at NBC News.
Live from the Berlin Wall on the most
just one of the many moments of history witnessed by Tom Brokaw in his storied career, the Berlin Wall coming down. He spent more than two decades as anchor of NBC Nightly News. So many of us watched Tom and Peter and Dan and I know early in my career here at ABC, bumping into Tom on planes to big stories. He was always so supportive, even of this kid at the other network. Congratulations, Tom, from all of us here at ABC News. Finally, Hank Aaron and his parents. Tonight, a nation celebrating that moment again when Hank Aaron made history. 715 home runs. But there was something else just as moving right after. Who was there waiting for him?
Met at home plate, not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother.
Hank Aaron's parents were in the stands that night, his mother running across the field, throwing her arms around him. Hank Aaron would talk about what it was he witnessed, what he faced on his journey, and he did it with grace.
When I look in the stands, you know, after they said these nasty things, when I looked in the stand, I saw all these black people in the stand. I said, I cannot let them down.
Hank Aaron was 40 when he broke Babe Ruth's record. He would often joke about how old he was, playing against younger players, and still beating them.
The kid was pitching and the kid that was catching, I was older than the two of them put together, so it was kind of embarrassing, you know. But I felt good about it, really, because it's very unusual for you to participate in this game that long.
We all celebrate Hank Aaron.